If I didn't talk to you when you come in the door, I want you to know that Brenda did get to come home today. Everything went well. Just a matter of learning how to walk again now, I guess. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the prayers on especially her behalf, but on our behalf. I just ask you continue to keep her in your prayers as she recovers over the next few weeks and months. And I'm thankful for the prayer on my behalf as we present God's word this evening. You know, Tanner had a lesson on the book of Samuel not too long ago and brought out some very good points. And we're going to take the crux of the lesson tonight out of the book of Samuel. But I have maybe a little different point than something that he brought out in his studies. We're going to start 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. There were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." With that thought in mind, going down to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and a couple of verses, verse 17 through 19. "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." You know, we look at the Israelites in this story and you just shake your head. You know, they've been in bondage as slaves in Egypt for roughly 400 years. Some of the references 450 years. So anyway, for a long time. And they had prayed to God for deliverance all those years they were in captivity. So God finally answered them and by sending Moses to the Pharaoh to ask Pharaoh to seek their release. But through Pharaoh's hard-heartedness, he refused, and what followed that refusal of Pharaoh, God got an opportunity to show Pharaoh just who really had the power by sending the plagues upon Egypt to persuade Pharaoh to let his people go. And even the Israelites, and even with them witnessing all this firsthand, they still rejected God and demanded a king. With Samuel even telling them how awful a king would be for them, he told them, this is what's going to happen. They're going to take your women, take your kids. The men will be soldiers. Your girls will be servants in the kingdom. And all of this stuff, and they didn't listen to it. They were stubborn. They still told him we wanted a king. They still demanded a king. So God told Samuel to hearken to the people and do what they demanded. He gave them a king. In this rebellion by Israel, wanting a king to rule over them and fight their battles, what they were actually saying was that they refused God to be the one to rule over them. We look at that and think, you know, how arrogant, how ignorant can they be? We think, well, we would never be that way, you know, especially after seeing the great blessings that God had bestowed on them to get their deliverance from the Egyptians to begin with. You know, this was firsthand knowledge that they had for all the plagues that beset upon Israel, on the Egyptians, to be able to force the Pharaoh to let them go. But you know, we see that same thought process and those same actions every day today. All we have to do is watch and listen to wherever we turn to get the news, and you can see this as plain as day going on in the world around us. All of this Rainbow Coalition people, those that just ride over anything and everything, those that blame all their problems on others and never fully come to the understanding that they're victims of their own choices. This is the same rebellion today as it was with Israel during Samuel's time and has been throughout time. This is nothing new. It wasn't new in Samuel's day. It's not new in our day today. People refusing to follow God and His word and seeking out their own little g God to follow. So what we see today is people just like them in Samuel's day. These things we see in the world today is just like the Israelites then, refusing anything to do with God. We don't want God to rule over us. We want a king. We're tired of the things God does for us. He expects too much from us. Give us a king, and He'll go forward and battle our battles and fight our fights. But you know, Exodus chapter 32 and verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." You know, sometimes I wonder just how far God went with putting up with the stiff-necked people of the Israelites. And we see it just over and over and over. You know, stiff-necked is simply just stubbornness. With Samuel telling the people what having a king would involve, they were stubborn enough to still want one, still demand a king. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 25 says, "Behold, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Now let's stay in the book of Romans. Let's go on down a few verses to verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave him over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it." You know, you look at these two readings in the book of Romans, and this is a perfect description of what the world is around us today. Everything that we read in this first chapter of the book of Romans, everything this says, we can look out in the world and see every bit of it going on in the world around us today. Nothing new under the sun. We say to ourselves, you know, but yeah, we were never like that though. But we were. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past ye," that's us, "ye, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Also Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We used to be that way before we were obedient to the gospel. We used to live just the same way the things we see in the world out here around us today. And the consequence for living that way is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of these things are going to inherit the kingdom of God. None of these people he's listed right here. And then verse 11 says, and such were some of you. That's us. We used to be that way. But now we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Since we were once that way, but we aren't now, or we definitely shouldn't be now, what's the difference? What changed? You know, what changed in our lives to make that change happen? Verse 11 answers that. Such were some of you, but now we're washed, sanctified, justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's through our obedience to the gospel. That's what changed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is what changed. We weren't ashamed of the gospel. We weren't stand up on our high horse that, well, no, I'm not gonna submit myself to God and be baptized in the water. That's nonsense. That's the way the world thinks today. And just what we've just read, we used to be that way, but we're not once we've been obedient to the gospel. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Titus tells us that this is not an exclusive invitation. It's made just for certain people. It's made for every one of us. As it says, this salvation hath appeared to all men. All we have to do is accept it, be obedient to it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So the change in our life by the obedience to the gospel, then we don't act the way we used to act. This is the way we should be acting. Especially verse number 2, he says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We can't live out in the world with that worldly mindset anymore. We have to live with an idea to please God and to pattern our lives after God's word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, and mortify is put to death. Put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. See, there we were again. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're to put off the old man through that our obedience to the gospel. We put off that old man, and we change, and we put on the new man. The new man has totally different characteristics than the old man had. Our new man should put away the way we used to live. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't have any draw to pull us back to our old life that we used to live, with all its sins and the rebellions. But we need to be able to seek God and his righteousness, to pattern our lives by God's word and the paths that Jesus left for us, so that we might try our very best to walk directly in his footsteps in this world. So no matter what we see going on in the world around us, keep that in our thought process that once upon a time we used to be like that. But once our obedience to the gospel happened, then we don't live that way anymore. We live as a new man, and we live as different characteristics, that we should do things to the glory of God, not to please ourselves and our flesh. I have one last verse. I'll leave you with this verse, and this sums up the whole lesson. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this world as workers for the kingdom. We're supposed to be working to bring the lost to Christ, and everything we do to bring glory to God. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things that we've studied have been beneficial for you, something to give you a little thought, something to think on. And if there's anyone subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward and have a seat on the front while we stand and sing the song, Been Selected.